The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me today. I do hope that your Christmas was merry and that whatever holiday you're celebrating this season was joyous and peaceful. We're 5 days away before 2013 comes to an end, and many of us at this time reflect upon the year that is about to depart and look forward to the coming year with cautious optimism. To help us do that is Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. He is a best-selling author of 5 books, writing partner and master trainer for the prestigious Napoleon Hill Foundation, and is on the faculty at Clark Atlanta University School of Business Administration. Dr. Kimbrough received his doctorate degree from Northwestern University, where he studied wealth and poverty in underdeveloped countries. He is a recipient of the Dale Carnegie Personal Achievement Award, and in 2005, the National Black MBA Association presented him with the H. Naylor Fitchew Award, recognizing him as one of the top professors in the nation. Dr. Kimbrough is the father of 3 daughters, and it is my pleasure and privilege to have him return to the show as my guest today. Dennis, thank you for joining us.
Chris, thanks for having me. Like, again, you could have anybody on your show, and you selected me, I'm honored.
Nobody better than you, my friend. So let's get to it. A year that to many was a phenomenal year, to others it was a year that left a lot to be desired. And we can look at that from any kind of viewpoint, an economic, political, philanthropic, you name it. But let's look at it from what's a common yardstick, I guess, certainly in the States, and that's the Time Magazine's Person of the Year designation, which happens the last couple of weeks of December. As, of course, we all know, this year's Person of the Year is Pope Francis, but besides the Pope for 2013, other leaders have been named. Nelson Mandela being one of them, President Obama and others being among them as well. So is there a common thread to those persons' key to success?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they're all cut from the same cloth. And when you look at it from the clear light of day, Chris, you see several common attributes and traits and qualities. Number one at the top of the list, these men and women are driven. I mean, they're driven, and they're usually driven for a cause. And when you look at their work, their life's work, it's really a calling. You know, I've said it before, a career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. So they're driven. They have identified their work's calling. They've identified their area of excellence. Number three, none of them had an easy path. I mean, they talk about, the latest Pope, the simplistic life that he has lived. And even when Nelson Mandela, 27 years Nelson Mandela spent on that rock in Robben Island. And many of the inmates, they used to, confront Nelson. They said, Nelson said, why are you always smiling? Why the countenance? Why the upbeat attitude? And he says, if anybody belongs on this rock, it is us. I mean, we're murderers, we're robbers, we're rapists, and you did nothing but stand up to the apartheid government here in South Africa. You should be the one that's really, you know, downtrodden or demure or whatever. And Nelson says, well, the reason why I smile all the time, he says, even when I'm losing, I'm winning. So they're driven for a cause, they're calling, they didn't have an easy path. But number four, they think outside the box. You know, so many times, and in this hyper-competitive economy that we have now, I tell my business students, you know, don't think outside the box. Go one step and create your own box. You know, find your life's purpose, you know, why you are here. And last but not least, they make things happen. So when you look at those commonalities and you look at those traits, there is a lesson to be learned that anybody, Chris, you know, you take one of these skill sets that these men and women have, and that will put you on the fast track of life.
That's very true. And of course, one can look back at several of those people, some who have made that prestigious list and others who have been contenders or not. And I think that if we look at any successful person who is a successful leader, without question, has those personality traits. But sometimes leadership can kind of go off cockeyed. I mean, it can go astray because... And I'm particularly speaking of the person who was the runner-up to Pope Francis as the person of the year this year, and that was Edward Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know what he did by spilling some beans that, could endanger the security
national
of this country.
Security, that's right.
And, many hailed him as a hero. I'm not going to make a political statement here, but suffice it to say that a hero he is not. I think he is a person who found an opportunity to expose something and did not think of the fallout or the responsibility. So he was driven without question. He did not have an easy path in life. He clearly thought outside of the box and he made things happen. Yet, it was all misdirected.
Well, he violated the first law of leadership or the first law of a goal. Not all goals are good goals, and not all goals are altruistic goals, you know, driven, you know, for the better sake of humanity. And that is, what is a goal? What is success, Chris? It is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. I mean, that's the rubric, that's the numeraire, that is the gold standard. And see, what we do in society, we always throw a dollar figure on goals. We think until you make a certain amount of money, until you're, you know, a billionaire, until you have the wealth of Donald Trump or, you know, the notoriety of so many celebrities, that has nothing to do with success. Success is the realization of a worthy or ideal goal. So under that, you know, backdrop, what is a successful or who is a successful individual? It's the young lady who says, I want to be a school teacher, then sets out on a path to become a school teacher. Or it's the high school dropout who says, I want to get a job at that corner service station or maybe one day own that corner service station. And those individuals are just as successful as the people that we might see as Person of the Year at Time Magazine. But the progressive realization of a worthy ideal or goal. And so that means if you're selling drugs, if you're making money underhandedly, if you're not the same person, you know, behind the curtain that you are in front of the curtain, you're not successful and you're not worthy of immolation. And that's what we see as Snowden.
Very, very well said. So let's take a different view, different look, rather, at where we have been and where we're going economically. Are we losing ground? Are we also losing ground in the academic arena? I mean, last week, I believe, some statistics were published that the high school graduates in the U.S. are significantly behind their counterparts in China, actually several Asian countries, as well as most European. So We have that, and to use your word, the question is the U.S. losing its mojo? You know, and if so, how can we, as individuals, restore that luster that we once had? And taking that a step further, can we use entrepreneurship to fuel that movement?
Yeah, well, first things first, the definition of entrepreneurship that I use is the same definition that's used at Harvard Business School. Entrepreneurship is pursuit of an opportunity without any regard to the resources at hand. Now, are we losing our mojo? I choose to say, well, I use the metaphor, is the glass half full or is it half empty? Well, being an optimistic guy, I say the glass is half full, and how do we get it completely full? By focusing on the traits and characteristics of those who succeeded in the past. So are we losing our mojo? No, but to answer the question, Chris, we could be a lot further along than where we are. Now, we still lead the world in terms of R&D, in terms of placing in dollars at last count, you know, about, more than $500 million annually in R&D in pursuit of, you know, new innovations, new inventions, whatever, to further enhance, you know, humanity and mankind. So we do lead the world in that. But when you look at who's leading the parade economically, it is China. And people say, well, here's a communist country, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, you got to divide it. Yeah, their politics are closed, but economically they are open. And when you look at, you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, when I was on your show before, I told you, whoever leads the parade economically, they control, they decide what sheet of music the rest of the world is going to, you know, play their music off of. And as long as they're controlling the economics, we have to place the science, technology, engineering, math, and that's what we are lacking. That's what we are lacking. And sometimes our best teachers, when we look at education, sometimes our best teachers don't even go into the field of education to teach. And we got to change that entire paradigm. I mean, here I got a PhD from one of the top universities in the nation, and I couldn't walk into any school system, public school system in this country and teach. I would have to be registered. I'd have to be certified. I'd have to go through a whole skill set. Well, if that is a Norman Moray, why was I given the award 5 years ago in terms of the Naylor Fitzhugh Award? You know, and I'm not saying this for my own personal aggrandizement. I am so humbled and honored that I received it. Why would the National Black MBA Association recognize me for that when I couldn't even teach, go into any inner city public school system here in Atlanta and teach? So that is crazy. So number one, our best instructors have got to be in the field of education, and we don't see that. Number two, we need school choice. And that's just not me. Go back six issues to Forbes magazine, and Chris, who do you see on the cover of Forbes magazine? You see three of your billionaires on the cover. You see Zuckerberg of Facebook. You see Case of America Online. You see Bill Gates of Microsoft. And they're all taking their capital and they're pooling it together for three goals and three goals only. Number one, in malaria in Africa. Number two, in smallpox in Africa. And number three, Chris, and this is their words, put these dropout factories out of business who aren't allowing them to compete with the Chinas, with the Koreas, with the Southeast Asias of the world. And until we do that, it's going to be the same old story.
Well said, and I believe you have just opened the Pandora's box. I love it. Let's just talk about more on this on the other side of a short break. You, my listeners, are in for a treat. My guest is Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, and we'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Please visit his website, denniskimbrough.com. Facebook page is Dennis Kimbrough, and follow him on Twitter at Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisepicu.com or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Epicu, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. So a Pandora's box was opened by Dr. Kimbrough just before we went on break, and we were talking about the importance that society seems to be paying to those who have made it big and made it big in dollars without necessarily to the exclusion of those who are making real differences in the world, but not making the big money. And Dennis, I believe that your point was that on Forbes several issues ago, there were the pictures of Zuckerberg and Steve Chase and Bill Gates who are donating their money to good, worthy causes in Africa. And the third one was to put certain businesses out that stop the competitiveness in the U.S.
Yeah, we were talking about, number one, in malaria in Africa, number two, in smallpox in Africa, number three, what they termed, when you read the article, these dropout factories. In other words, you know, these schools that don't teach or don't, you know, allow the teachers to teach effectively. And that all coincides with what we're saying about, you know, STEM and the demands from operating in a society that has a China, that has a Qatar, that has a Southeast Asia, that demands what is called top-of-mind status and excellence. And until we do that, you know, we're really leaving a market segment behind. I mean, here you got a segment, and let's focus on Black America, something that is nearest and dearest to my heart. And I'm not saying all public schools are the same, but I'm saying that when you see them, I don't care whether you go into a Chicago, whether Newark, and Zuckerberg is doing a hell of a job. I don't know how much money he's given to overcome and overturn some of the educational nonsense that's going on in Newark, New Jersey.
The initial contribution was $100 million.
Exactly. So when you see a segment in Black America that less than 40% have access of our children have access to a computer with internet access, and that's the demand today. So what do you have, Chris? You have Black elementary and junior high school and high school students doing their homework and writing their term paper on their mother's cell phone. They wait for the mother to come home from work and say, "Mom, can I buy you a cell phone?" Why? Because she has internet access in the, you know, on her cell phone. So they're holding the mother's cell phone in one hand and writing a term paper in the other. You know, how are we going to compete? How are we going to build businesses? How are we going to educate our children? And until we address the simplistic issue of that picture, nothing is going to happen. So, like I said, yeah, we got some good schools out there, some excellent public schools who are doing a hell of a job and doing a yeoman's job. But, you know, give these kids an opportunity, because that they might produce the next Bill Gates. They might produce the next, you know, Dorsey of Twitter, or the next Chad Hurley of YouTube. You don't know.
No, you don't. And the only thing you do know is if you do not avail the opportunity, you're absolutely certain never to have that kind of outcome.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And there is no big outside of God and breathing, Chris. In this country, there is no bigger challenge and no goal that stands higher than educating the next generation. Why? Because the next generation is always the future. And if the next generation doesn't get it together and doesn't clear that bar and doesn't, I'm not saying reach the potential, but at least strive for the potential, that means you and I and guys, hey, I'm 63 years old. I won't have a future, and this country won't have a future.
That's entirely true, and for all of us who are parents, we all want to see our children have a better future than we did.
What did the Census Bureau say? This is the first generation whose children won't exceed economically, you know, the achievement levels and accomplishment levels of the parents since this country, you know, since 1776. Well, that says a lot. And entrepreneurship, for the most part, is going to be the way out. And what is entrepreneurship? It is men and women, creative men and women with access to capital. So you find out who are the creative folks and load it. Hey, here's the money. Let's go find out how high is high.
That's exactly right. But this is not to say that only educated people can be entrepreneurs, because certainly there are an awful lot of examples that seem to point to the opposite. But there is absolutely no denying the fact that if education is not the one that makes 100% of the people, education absolutely the driver of the establishing the foundation for an entrepreneurship to flourish.
Oh, yeah, and there's two types of education. Oh, there's formal education, all right? So you and I, we got our quote-unquote formal education, but there's self-education. Yeah, formal education for the most part, and my colleagues in faculty meetings hate when I talk like this. Formal education will get you a job, but right. Formal education and self-education will make you rich, and there's the big difference. But it all begins with knowledge. Knowledge is the first law on the road and to prosperity. Prosperity begins in the mind but ends in the purse. And if you have a market segment, look at Black America. What do you got? Half of the black males even finishing high school? And that's not me, Chris. I mean, I probably was the last person to interview Ron Brown, Secretary of Commerce, under the Clinton administration.
Right.
And there I am at the Secretary of Commerce office, and I'm interviewing him, and I asked him. I said, Mr. Secretary, you know, what is your formula for wealth? And that's exactly what he told me. Wealth is creative men and women with access to capital. I said, okay, so what is the formula for poverty? And he says, if you want to be poor, here's the following subset for poverty. He said, number one, be uneducated. Number two, be 20 years of age or younger. Number three, be with child. Number four, be female. And number five, be of color. He says, if you hold those five subsets, I guarantee you, you will be poor. Chris, that's half my race he's talking about.
Yes, and it's sad. It really is sad. It's not everything is done by choice. You know, there people don't plan to fail.
That's right.
Oftentimes they fail to plan, but then in the case that you just articulated, it goes far beyond that. I mean, even if you don't plan in a succinct kind of way, you still have, most people have an opportunity to get by and probably do okay if they apply themselves to it. But as you said, you know, if you're black, if you're female, if you're with child, and I don't recall the other two factors.
Yeah, be uneducated, 20 years of age or younger.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost an economic death sentence for your future.
Well, to even get closer to it, because I have said, you know, as a man thinketh, as a person, as a woman thinketh, so are you. You know, in other words, you know, you control the goals. The greatest gift that we've ever been given, Chris, by the Creator is the ability to change our mind. So, you know, everything happens to you twice in life, the inner, the outer, the thought, the thing, you know, the mental, the physical. So people say, okay, Dr. Kimbrough, so you're telling me you got a, you know, a billion people in Africa that are starving today because they think that all the time. And I say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying what happens as a country here in the United States, we allow that nonsense to exist. Chris, if you took one-tenth of the military budget, what we spend per year, one-tenth of it, and I don't know if you watched 60 Minutes last weekend and they were talking about, you know, misappropriations of funds and all this money that was wasted. If you took one-tenth, you'd end poverty in Africa right now. Chris,
oh, absolutely.
If you put a notebook or a tablet computer in the hand of every black elementary school child today, Thursday, December 26th, tomorrow, Friday, December 27th, poverty would be non-existent in the black community. But we allow that nonsense to exist, and we focus on the mundane stuff that doesn't matter. You got educators saying, well, we're going to put an end to school prayer. We're going to take school prayer out. How the hell can you take prayer out of anything, Chris?
If you
blindfold me, I could dream a prayer. You put a sock in my mouth, I could hum a prayer. Knock me unconscious, and I'll think a prayer. As a matter of fact, I'm praying right now that we as a nation get it together. But we focus on the mundane instead of what is necessary.
Amen to that. And it is chatter for chatter's sake, as opposed to actually getting it together and trying to solve the problem.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a couple of minutes before the break, and I want to dovetail one of your books to the wealth within the black community that you wrote, and that's of course your book, The Wealth Choice. Now it is the number one business book in black America.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken a while to get hold in this market segment. So why has that taken this market segment so long to grasp the big picture?
Well, it depends on who's leading the parade, number one. I mean, just like Booker T. Washington was never given his due for what he did and what he proposed to do. And what is Booker T. Washington? What are the words that he's going to be known for, or that he is known for? Start where you are with what you have, knowing that what you have is plenty enough. You see, there's certain things that as a race, regardless of the race, I don't care whether you're Asian, I don't care whether you're Native American, Jewish, whatever, that you can achieve when you close ranks. Okay, we close ranks and we help put President Obama in office. Okay, but when you look at something economically, that has got to be done individualistically. In other words, Chris, if you start a business and that business goes out of business, it'll blow up in your face. You might be an individual to, you know, lose your car, to lose your shirt, to lose your house. Certain things you have got to do by yourself, like every economic group. So number one, it depends on, you know, be very careful who you listen to, number one. After we get to the break, we'll talk about the others.
Sounds terrific, and this is a good time for us to take a short break. My guest is Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Please visit his website at denniskimbrough.com. Facebook page is Dennis Kimbrough, and follow him on Twitter at Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Before the break, we were talking about one of Dr. Kimbrough's books, The Wealth Choice. It is now the number one business book in Black America, but it has taken a while for that segment to grasp the big picture. And Dennis, you were giving us the reasons.
Yeah, and this book got started 7 years ago, Chris, a conversation with Andy Young, and he told me, now here's a man who walked hand-in-hand, arm-in-arm, side-by-side with Martin Luther King, and he told me, Chris, he said, me and Dr. King integrated the lunch counter, but we failed to integrate the dollar. And my reply was, well, how does anybody integrate the dollar? And he says, someone has got to give us the qualities and attributes and the keys of operating effectively in a free, open, capitalistic society economy. And that's what started me down the road. I mean, Black America's most prolific scholar, W.B. Du Bois, in 1899, Chris, wrote a book called The Negro in Business. And what did he do? He went up and down the Eastern Seaboard, you know, interviewing and talking to successful Black entrepreneurs, trying to find those keys to go ahead and make them available for generations to come. So, you know, there's a number of factors and reasons why we didn't go down that path. But here it is in the clear light of day. Everybody knows that entrepreneurship is the only way out. Is the only way out, especially in the system and the market that we are in right now. You get an idea, you solve a problem, you get rich. You get an idea, you solve a big problem, then you become a billionaire. And that's the opportunity right now, because the Internet has made that access available to anybody and everybody. See, the Internet doesn't know color. The Internet doesn't know gender. You know, all the Internet knows is what is called top-of-mind status. And what is top-of-mind status? Are you the best in your rank? Are you the best in your industry? That's all the Internet knows, serving your fellow man. And whenever you take the opportunity away for somebody to serve, you're giving them a crutch rather than a staff. And that's why I've said, I can take anybody standing on a street corner with a street sign or a little cardboard sign saying, I work for food. You know, let this individual have the opportunity to serve. Service is the price you pay for the space that you occupy, and anybody can serve, and anybody can make a difference.
That is true indeed. So let's talk about unemployment. So we've got an unemployment rate that's been hovering at 7 or 8%. It's been better than it was, but, you know, a far cry from where it needs to be. What can the average individual do to make himself or herself more competitive in the marketplace? And is this a place where the federal government can help?
Well, we can always do it. The bottom line, everybody is responsible. You are responsible for you. I'm responsible for myself. Again, going back to Booker T. Washington, he said the circumstances that surrounds a man's or woman's life are not important. It is how that individual responds. And when he talked about responsibility, Booker T. Washington meant respond with ability. So, number one, don't see yourself as an employee. See yourself as an independent profit center. Number two, Chris, find your area of excellence. Why you have been placed on earth. There's only three questions you got to ask yourself in order to find your area of excellence. Number one, what do I love to do? What do I have a passion for? What can I throw my whole heart and soul into? Question number two, what would I do for free? If no one ever paid me a dime, if no one gave me financial reward for my efforts, what would I do for free? Because at that rate, my work would be my play. And then last but not least, you know, find your competitive advantage. I mean, go look at Michael Porter in his book, Strategy on Competitive Advantage. We all have different competitive areas of independent competitive advantage. What is yours? Obviously, Chris, your competitive advantage, you're a talk show host. You have strong, you know, oral and written communication skills. You're an excellent listener. Well, you'd be a fool not to find a way to exploit that. My competitive advantage, hey, I love to read. People say I'm an excellent writer. I'd be a fool not to exploit that, regardless of our degrees. And when you find your area of excellence, when you determine the number one reason why you've been placed on earth, you never have to worry about income and you never have to worry about employment. Why? The marketplace will seek you out. And Chris, you can always tell how well and how effective job you are doing by how many future employers have contacted you trying to pull yourself away from your current employer. So number one, you're an independent profit center. Number two, find your area of excellence. And then last but not least, again, it goes back to serving. Anybody can wow the customer. Anybody can give more than what is expected, more than what is required. Anybody can go the extra mile. Those are the critical factors. That's what employers are looking for today.
So what I hear you say is that business as usual is no more business as usual.
No more. Hey, I don't care. You take any job out there. There are a minimum 50 to 60 other candidates vying for that position. So business as usual is going to put you out of business if you are an independent profit center.
So is there some ways that, you know, there can be some smart money moves that can improve a person's individual wealth by not being, not following the business as usual?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a conversation that I had years ago with my personal mentor, and that was W. Clement Stone. And, Chris, it took me 7 years to write my first book, and I went through financial hell and high water. And, yes, I did lose two cars in the process, and I can't begin to sit here in my study right now and tell you the times my gas, lights, water, electricity was cut off. And there I am with W. Clement Stone, who was the Bill Gates of his time in the 1970s, the president of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And he could see from a distance what I couldn't see up close. And he said to me, he said, young man, you know, when this book is finally published, you know, you're going to come into, you know, a little bit of money. And, you know, I didn't doubt him, but my eyebrows certainly shot up. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And he said, no, I'm not telling you. You're going to come into some money. And he says, let me give you some advice right now. If you can't save 10% of everything that you earn, the seeds of greatness aren't in you. So number one, watch your spending habits. You know, if you can't start a spending plan, then begin to retire all debt. In other words, I know everybody's not out in their position to save 10% of your gross income, but begin to retire all debt, because that is the first step to entrepreneurship, is your savings. And number two, when you begin to, you know, save 10% and you look for investment opportunities, you know, again, start with what you use. Start with what you buy. Start with what grabs your attention. Okay, if you're looking for areas to cut and improve, you know, look at your cable bill. You know, don't pay for stations that you don't watch. You know, look at your cell phone. Don't pay for minutes that you don't use. And I don't care with any cell phone provider, they're going to try and heap on 50 million different programs on you, blah, blah, blah. And I don't care if you're under contract or not, Chris. Go to your cell phone provider and tell them, you know, I'm shopping around for a better deal. They could care less if you're under contract and your contract doesn't expire for another year or so. They're going to be willing to listen because they don't want to lose you as a customer. So those are the critical areas that you have got to really focus in on this hyper-competitive economy.
So in your third book, titled What Makes the Great Great, you highlight scores of achievers from all walks of life and within society. What are their distinguishing factors and characteristics?
Oh,
how can
man.
we Yeah, I mean, that to me is the view into the crystal ball for 2014.
Yep.
If we can talk about what has gone wrong and what has gone right in 2013, but we know that unless we, you know, put pen to paper and until we try to apply ourselves, not much is going to happen. So,
number one, Chris, these men and women, and I interviewed scores, you know, like, okay, for the wealth choice, if you weren't seven figures, if you weren't a millionaire, I really didn't focus on you. But for my third book, What Makes a Great Great, from Olympic athletes to, yes, I had entrepreneurs, effective school teachers, men and women, peak performers in their particular area. Number one, they dream big dreams, Chris. They had a dream, a passion, something that they desperately wanted to accomplish in life. Don't you know the average individual in our society gets four ideas a year, any one of which, if they had the guts, the courage, the fortitude to chase their dream, would make them financially independent. We live in an economy that rewards differentiation, different and unique. You know, the average individual, you know, hey, if you live the normal life, which is 74 to 78 years on Earth, you do the math. That's only 29, 30,000 days on Earth. You know, it's how you use your time. It's what you think about, you know, in terms of differentiation. So think about you. What is so different and unique about you? Why are you here? You know, why is this universe, why is this world, why is this planet going to be different, going to be better because you are here? So they dream big dreams. Number two, Chris, they were inner directed versus outer directed. In other words, they weren't so quick to believe well-meaning friends or family members who said, you can't do this, you can't do that. They walked to a beat of a different drummer. So again, differentiation is number one, different and unique. They had dreams and visions. Number three, they were avid goal setters. If you don't have a goal, well, damn it, make it your goal to find a goal. They were all avid goal setters. And what do we know about goals, Chris? Number one, your goals must be believable. Your goals must be achievable. Your goals must be conceivable, and your goals must be measurable. What gets measured gets done. You are at your best, and I'm speaking rhetorically, as an individual, as a society, we are at our best when we are chasing our goal, when we are chasing our dream, when we are chasing our vision. And then last but not least, these men and women flat out refused to fail. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't fail. Many of them actually failed their way to success. But there's a quote in my first book from Confucius that reads, a man or woman is great not because they haven't failed. A man or woman is great because failure has not stopped them. Now, anybody can, you know, I'm not concerned about how many times you get knocked down. I am only concerned about how many times you're going to get up. And that is the bottom line. And when you look at these peak performers, all men and women from all walks of life, those are the four attributes that everyone had in their life to, in order to achieve their goals and objectives.
You know, I have never heard this put in a more succinct and more understandable way, which is also incredibly inspiring. And to those who say, well, if I don't like the beat of the drum that I'm hearing, go find a different beat. And if you can't find it, what do you do? Create your own beat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the ultimate in creating your own domain, if you will. Let's talk more about that at the other side of a short break. My guest is Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion, passion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. Certainly time flies by when Dr. Kimbrough is on the air, and it certainly has today. We're entering our last segment, and I don't really know where the time has gone. For whatever we're not going to be able to cover today, please visit his website at DennisKimbrough.com. His Facebook page is Dennis Kimbrough, and follow him on Twitter at Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. The last part of my question earlier on, Dennis, was the role of the federal government. Is the federal government in a position to help entrepreneurship, or is its mere presence a wet blanket on it?
Well, you know, I'll let others decide about that, but what the federal government can do is, and I made the comment off air, okay, here my president has been in office, what, 6 years now, six going on seven, whatever, and you can count the times, how many times he said the word entrepreneurship. As if, you know, politicians get in office and they say, I got policies that will create X amount of jobs. How the hell is the federal government going to do anything? There's only one individual on this planet who can create a job, and that's an entrepreneur. So what we got to do, we got to produce more entrepreneurs. You know, and where does opportunity begin? Opportunity begins in the mind. The economy, Chris, listen, damn it, the economy is always in mind. So get the boundaries, get the borders, get all that nonsense out of the way, and it begins with giving people opportunity backed by money. Lower taxes. Chris, there's only three things you can do with money. Two are good and one is horrible. Number one, you can spend it. If I gave you my X amount of dollars and you spend it, that's great for the economy, man. That's made retailers are making money. People who are working for retailers, now they got jobs and blah, blah, blah. So that's good. You can save it. You can go ahead and put it in a bank, put it in a credit union. That means more money for mortgages, more money for car loans. That's great. But the worst thing you can do is give it to a third party to spend on your behalf. Now pull out your Webster's Dictionary or your Funkin' Wagnalls and doggone it, look up the word tax. It means to waste, to burden, to deplete, to destroy. So lower taxes, you know, start, you know, let opportunity splurge. Give men and women the creative resources that they need to chase the dream. And probably the best metaphor, the best example is what we just saw in 2012. In 2012, 20 years ago, you know, here you got Kodak, who begins in the R&D department to come up with a digital camera, doesn't come to fruition until 2012. Kodak, with 140,000 employees who invent the digital camera, they go bankrupt in 2012. The same year, you got 13 committed souls out in Silicon Valley with Instagram take the same idea that one company goes down to the tubes, and here they go with a market cap of $2 billion. So what the hell is going on? I mean, one is focused on the opportunity. One has the dream, followed by the resources at hand, and that's what we need more of. Just think, man, if you would just go ahead and cut light the candle to this entrepreneurship explosion and say, federal government, listen, we're going to get out the way. We're looking for people to go in their garage and chase that dream. You know, right now, unemployment is hovering around 7 to 8%, but there's no telling. You got twice as many people who have given up the work and say, listen, man, while you're out for work, we're going to give you a tax incentive. If you come up with a dream, if you come up with an idea. That's what Chad Hurley did of YouTube. That's what, you know, Dorsey did with Twitter. How many different other opportunities are out there? Well, let's find out how high is high. And it begins with the, you know, with the federal government. Stay in your place. That's all I want you to do.
Perfect. And when I listen to you speak, Dennis, I almost, not almost think, I know I'm listening to somebody who is preaching to me words that are very, very well thought out and almost on a spiritual level. So you've done that with your writings, and you offer your reader a tinge of spirituality. A person only has to hear you to know that you're absolutely passionate of what it is that you say and how it is that you say it. In lieu of this holiday season and the new year that's about to embark, is there a difference between religion and spirituality in your mind?
Yes, to me, the difference between religion and spirituality is one who prays to God, but the spiritual person knows God. I mean, there's a big difference. You know, when you pray, you might believe and you might think it's true, blah, blah, blah. I can pray all I want that one and one is two, but if you know that one and one is two, that's the difference. I mean, Chris, if I counted to three and I said on the count of three, I want you to point, and listen to all your listeners out there. Just do this. On the count of three, I want you to point to due north. Okay, one, two, three. Now you've got 50 million people out there who listen to this station and point to 50 million different directions of due north. Well, I know that's because they're in different locales and whatever. Okay, but here I am. I'm in my study in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. And Chris, in my study on my desk right now, I got a compass. And I pick up the compass and I hold the compass and the compass points to due north. Dr. Kimbrough, what in the world are you saying? You can point in 50 million different directions all you want, but look, damn it, there's only one truth. There's only one true idea, and the compass says, this is due north. You know, the rich and powerful, they make money. Everybody else makes excuses, but damn it, you can't do both. And what is the truth? God is no, you know, when it comes to persons, he's no respecter of persons. Everybody gets the idea. Everybody gets the chance and the opportunity, but when are you going to chase that chance? When are you going to chase that idea? When are you going to focus in on the truth? If you knew who walks beside you every day on this journey called life, you would never doubt or fear again. And that begins in taking information. That begins with believing. Chris, who is the most pitiful individual in the room? The man or woman without hope. Who is the most dangerous individual in the room? The man or woman with sight, but no vision. We need creative men and women with vision. We need hope-filled men and women. We need spiritual men and women. There's no financial deficit in my country right now, but Lord knows there is a spiritual deficit. And I hear it all the time. Listen, yeah, I know I try to be politically correct. I try to say the right thing. But I got my calendar right now, Chris, and I'm looking at my calendar right now, and it said yesterday was Christmas. What is the problem with saying Merry Christmas? What is the problem with saying, okay, here we come in February, you know, hey, this is Black History Month, this is King's Holiday, this is National President's Day, this is Happy Memorial Day. What is the problem with saying that? We have got to focus in on what is truth. And what is the true idea?
That is entirely correct, because I believe that we have gone to a place of too much political correctness, and it is within it that our own spirituality and our own compass gets all mired, because there is another magnetic field that seems to be pointing the true north away from its true direction. I could not agree with you more that this is something that should be celebrated, and celebrate Christmas, celebrate Hanukkah, celebrate Passover, celebrate Kwanzaa, celebrate anything, and celebrate it all, because it speaks to some group of people who are following that belief, that ritual, that tradition, whatever it is. Don't make it a unilateral thing. Make it a thing across the board. But in an effort to be politically correct, let's not lose sight of what really this society, this humanity is based on, and that is on the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, without a doubt. Hey, we are kindred spirits at any given time, Chris. You know, we are either moving towards love or we're moving towards fear. And our oppressor, yeah, listen, I know, okay, I'm 63 years old. The chance that I would ever hear somebody outside of my race call me the N-word is very remote. And I know there are examples of that. Okay, we can look what happened to Trayvon Martin, this and that. But the chances that it happened are very remote. But there is an oppressor out there. And where is the oppressor? The oppressor is internal. And until we get past that internal oppressor, until we get rid of low self-esteem, until we get all that hate, until we get all that negative emotion and focus in on the true idea, to serve our fellow man or woman, to respect the rights of our fellow man or woman, then nothing is going to change.
I'm going to let that be the last word. I thank you so much for truly enlightening us and uplifting us all. And a very happy new year to you, my friend, and your family.
God bless you, Chris. Thanks for everything. Happy new year to you too, my brother. God bless.
Thank you. I hope you join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. A happy, healthy, and prosperous new year to you all. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.